Thank you for that, Rodney. And you introduced the next topic, making thoughtful changes to policy. We will look to Tim Horst for that topic.
Send greetings to each of you. I have thoroughly enjoyed being here and listening to the various speakers. One observation I have is that as each speaker came up here and shared their perspective and their insight on the work of the school and the board, I think there's less for me to share. Some of these thoughts and comments that I'm going to have are going to overlap with from previous. I trust you can bear with me in that. Making thoughtful changes to policy. Now, we've heard about having productive meetings and a structure that's working. And if that's all in place and functioning well, I think making thoughtful, deliberate changes to policy should be easier. So how do we decide if a change in policy is needed? What factors influence the need and the outcome of the change? Who makes the decision to change or not to change the policies that are in place? What factors should be the keys that influence the outcome? And who finally takes the initiative to make the change and who will implement it? We want to look at some of these questions that as school boards we need to answer in order to make good decisions. The topic title implies that we will give the issue reasonable thought and analysis. It also assumes that there is an existing policy. Some of this discussion will apply to creating new policies and some will apply to determine if the existing needs changed or reinforced. So let's begin by looking at, is the change needed? Don't try to fix what isn't broken unless you are a research scientist and or looking for alternative outcomes and statistical data. This being a school administration meeting, we're looking at school policies. If what you have is working, then I think we do well to leave well enough alone. So who determines if something isn't working? The teachers, the board, the students, the parents? Who determines if something isn't working? While there could be valuable insight from the students, they likely won't have the strongest influence here. And also we value our teachers and their perspective on the function and the effectiveness of the school. Their influence here will likely be significantly stronger than the students. Yet are they ultimately responsible for policy? Their responsibility is primarily implementation, or in some cases at least. And if there were no parents or patrons interested in the school and what it offers, there'd be little reason for the school. Yet again, are they ultimately responsible for policy? No. So what we have left is the board or the administration functions of the school, and ultimately that falls to the board to gather the necessary information and to listen to the stakeholders, parents, teachers, and students, then determine if the need for change exists. If as a board we are confronted with a request to change policy or perhaps simply a stakeholder that is unhappy with existing policy, we will need to determine if the policy is outdated, unreasonable, or current and viable. The Webster definition of policy is a definite course or method of action selected from among alternatives and in light of given conditions to guide and determine present and future decisions. And the high-level overall plan embracing general goals and acceptable procedures, especially of a governmental body. We notice that these are not tactical decisions. They're more strategic and take longer time to see the real outcomes. Let's give policies their rightful place. Michael Roberto uses the term deciding how to decide. I'd like to suggest that if we don't have a policy for this, one of the first ones that should be made is how will we decide if a change is necessary? Deciding how to decide. And this can be done after being confronted with the potential need, but maybe influenced by our own prejudice or current perspectives. So ideally, this would be done in a place before, and in place before. Deciding how to decide is a safety net to spur the moment decisions that should be carefully considered. When your back is against the fence and you're weighing the available options, it's likely not a good time to determine where the fence really belongs. Pre-planning a decision-making process will give credibility and quality to the process and the outcome. Making a good decision involves stakeholders with diverse, making a decision that involves stakeholders with diverse perspectives can be challenging, and it will likely be difficult to please everyone. And if we need the support and the buy-in from all levels, we will need to make sure the process is sound. We tend to support decisions or policies that we initially didn't agree with if we understand the process and recognize it as being sound and fair. So again, deciding how to decide is likely one of the more important decisions we make. Coming back to the point that policies should be strategic in nature rather than tactical. Tactical are the short-term decisions we need to make or act on immediately and have more immediate outcome, often once and done, with no immediate long-term effects. However, if the quality of our tactical decisions is low, it will eventually influence our policies. And if our policies are sound and effective, they will make the tactical decisions easier. So I believe it's important to know the difference and recognize what decision we're making and relate to it accordingly. Policies should be of a more strategic nature. So let's look at a few factors that influence our decisions. Values. Values are principles. Values are decision-making tools. I'd like to turn back to James 1. We looked at that this morning. I'd like to read a few verses here in James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is powerful. Lack wisdom? Ask God. Receive liberally. Is that what it says? In a sense, yes. But there's more embedded here. And let's read it again and try to grasp the conditions. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Indecision will bar you from receiving. And goes further to say that indecision will cause instability. If we don't know what values or principles we stand for or what outcome we're working towards, we're going nowhere. We're a shapeless wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, no moorings, no sense of direction, and an unknown outcome. Values or principles are decision-making tools. Know where you stand, know where you want to go. Policies should be based on principle, and we should know what principles or values will influence principles and values will influence our policies. Another one that influences our policies is culture, and we heard some of that. And we tend to overlook this one, but it likely is one of the strongest influences on the policies we write or don't write. Culture is a little like bias. We cannot avoid the fact that we all have our own biases, and we do well to recognize that when making a group decision, culture is much the same. While we are all influenced or a product of a larger culture around us, we are also influenced and a product of a smaller subcultures that are closer to us. In many of our schools and churches, we bring together a wide variety of these subcultures and are forced to blend them into something functional. And we do well to recognize that they exist and respect them for the power of influence they have. Culture can be used as a strong anchor when it has been cultivated and grown on values and principles. We do well to evaluate and differentiate between culture and principle. Our schools hold a key to long-term influence on shaping and changing a culture. We do well to recognize this and take it seriously. We should be deliberate in writing policies that point us to where we intend to go. You've likely all heard that term, culture eats strategy for breakfast. It expresses the power and influence of culture if unchecked and shows us that we need a strong, healthy strategy if we want to stay in control of policy. The influence of culture is not necessarily negative in itself. It can have a positive influence in protecting us from impulsive changes. But culture influences our policies. Changes to policy need to support our vision or mission for the school. Do we have a vision for our schools? Our schools hold a key to long-term influence on shaping and changing a culture, and we should have a clear vision of the mission of our schools. And our decisions to write or change a policy that should go through that filter of our mission statement, to have a clear vision, mission statement becomes important in a multicultural organization like our schools. We need to be able to clearly articulate the vision of our schools if we want to write policies that are consistent and support each other. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No clear vision feeds instability. We've looked at who is primarily responsible for policy in our schools. We looked at a few factors that influence policy. making and or changing existing? How can we make this a little more practical? And again, a number of these points were already either implied or spoken to, but we'll just go over this briefly again. Build a functional team. This is a whole topic of its own, and we won't be digging into this. Making and changing policies is work for a cohesive, functional teams and boards. And if the outcome is critical to you, then ensure that you have a functional team. Dysfunctional teams create poor results. Number two, clearly articulate the vision of your school. The key to good decision-making is not knowledge, it's understanding. Understand where you start, know where you are, and have a vision for where you want to go. If your vision can be accomplished in your lifetime, it's probably too short-sighted. Another quote, it has been said that at its best, preservation engages the past in a conversation with the present over a mutual concern for the future. And another practical point, number three, and this was referred to earlier. The question is, how do you eat an elephant, one bite at a time? This also applies here. And if your organization or school lacks policies and protocols, or if there's a long list of policies that seem dysfunctional or irrelevant, and we want to bring structure and order and accountability to them, and we despair at the job of addressing them, these issues, don't try to do it in one meeting. Just take one bite at a time. Determine where you are, chart a course, where you want to go, clearly articulate your vision, and work through one policy at a time. If we don't know where we want to go, how will we know when we get there? Be decisive. Again, James reminds us that if we are indecisive, we are a shapeless wave, driven with the wind, and tossed. No moorings, no sense of direction, and an unknown outcome. Number four, how do we determine if the existing policy is functional? Again, if it's not broken, don't mess with it. I'm not a mechanic and I don't profess to be one. And I've learned not to take things apart that are mission critical. And while I have an interest in knowing how things work, many times when I take something apart out of curiosity, I discover there are more parts than necessary to reassemble and have it looking like it did before. And just because it looks similar to what it did before disassembly, it seems to lack some functionality. So again, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. And if you're out of your league, ask for help. We see that here in James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If it helps in obtaining or maintaining our vision and it's not cumbersome, then I think we do well to leave it alone. Now suppose we are challenged by a stakeholder on a certain policy. Let's look at a few principles. First, who is the stakeholder? Is it a student or a parent or a teacher or another board member? Remember how we looked at the various stakeholders and at the beginning and the different perspectives or influences they have on the policy. We should first determine where the challenge is coming from and who will address it. We will address it differently. If it's a student, than if it's coming from a parent. A policy challenged by a student may not even make it to the board meeting, or if it does, simply as a point of interest. But if it's coming from a parent, we do well to listen well to the concerns and evaluate carefully if the current policy is inconsistent with our vision. When we have determined that our policy is sound and meets our vision, what are we going to do with it? Write it on nice stationery and put it in a filing cabinet to collect dust? If the policy warrants taking your valuable time to determine its need and its function, then it should be worth clearly communicating with all interested stakeholders. Communicate clearly, reinforce. Don't lose sleep over something that will only collect dust. As school boards representing Christian schools, we may be forced to write policies we never thought would be necessary. We are facing a culture that is fast losing its moorings and is flailing around looking for something to grasp. And it's inevitable that someone will get hurt. May we endeavor to use our schools to plant seeds of stability and a clear sense of direction. Finally, indecision is a decision not to make a decision. Decision-making is risky, and it's hard work. At times, we avoid the responsibility. As boards and administrators, we owe it to our schools and churches to take our responsibility seriously and not avoid making those tough decisions thoughtfully and deliberately. Again, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, and is driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we are out of our league, don't be afraid to ask an all-knowing God.
Thank you, Tim. That brings us to the end of our afternoon. We discussed meetings and structure and policy and all kinds of favorite topics that everyone enjoys most. And yet, you know, I appreciated how repeatedly throughout the day our brothers referenced our need to look to God for our source of wisdom. And thank you again for pointing us to that. Several little things to note. On the bottom of your programs, you will see two QR codes. The one on the right-hand side is for donation. If you wish to donate using that QR code, you can with your phone, and if you have not already done so. The one on the left is for the evaluation form, and you will also find the paper copies on the table at the back. We really urge you to fill them out, since we review those to make next year's event better. So please take the time to fill them out. We welcome everyone to stay for supper. It is prepared. I just want to add to that, for those of you who indicated that you are not planning to stay, please, as you leave, remember to drop your name tags at the front table in the lobby there. Again, everyone is welcome, and supper is prepared. There is plenty of food. Same format as at lunchtime. And it is ready at this time, so I will ask Brother Tim to lead us in prayer as we stand. Let's stand.